their lives. How many of us don't value what Jesus brings to our lives? We don't value that. We value what our money brings us. Do you hear me? We value what our job brings us. We value what our husband or wife brings us, or our children bring us, or our car brings us. Man, we shine that car way more than we shine the Word of God. We shine them rims till we can comb our teeth inside of them. And our Bibles are full of dust, and our spiritual walk is dry and dried up. We don't value the price that Jesus paid enough for it to change our lives. Good story, Pastor. Resurrection. Yay, yay. I wear my gold cross and my bling bling, and I rap to Jesus all day long. But do we know Him? Do we follow Him? Do we live for Him? Do we act out our life for Him? Do we understand the value of what happened 2,000 years ago? That He paid a price for your freedom forever and ever and ever. And the sin that you couldn't get forgiven, He forgave one time forevermore. And you have a future the devil can't ever cancel or reverse or change out, because He took the curse upon Himself that you would not be cursed. We were all under a curse. What's this curse, you say? It's the curse of the law. What's the big deal about curse of the law? The curse of the law was none of us could keep it. We all fell short of it. Therefore, we all would die and not have everlasting life. But Jesus reversed the curse. He took on the curse for us. He became a curse for me, that now no longer am I bound to what I was born into, but I'm now destined to what I was born out of. Out of sin and into righteousness. That's the value of this Jesus. That's the value of my Lord and Savior. And that value, we should shine it forth and wear it like it means something to us. I think if any of you pulled up here next Sunday in a brand new Corvette, you'd want everybody to see it. Everybody see it. You'd park it out there and you'd be getting out of it real slow. You'd wait. Here's what you do. You'd wait about 5 to 10 to pull in when everybody was here. And then you'd park, you'd get out real slow and act like you're messing with your car. Somebody would see you getting out of it. Oh, is that your Corvette? Oh, yes, it is. You want to see? Oh, you'd be so proud of it. Oh, you'd be so proud. Are we that proud of our Savior, of our King? Do we shine Him forth? Do we put as much value in what He has done for us and who He is in our lives as we do the things in the natural? Our money is going to run out. We all know that. That's why many of you 90 years old are still working, because you know your money's running out. And so you got to keep working and working and working and working, because the money runs out. Cars rust out. Cars wear out. Houses wear out. Clothes wear out. Our flesh wears out, but the Word of God remains. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we are like grass, we're like a flower. We're here today, gone tomorrow, we fadeth away, but the Word of God abideth forever. It's forever and ever and ever. The value of what Jesus did changed the world. It changed our destiny. It changed our future. They didn't esteem Him. They didn't honor Him. They didn't value Him. Now look at verse 4. Surely He hath borne my griefs. He has borne my griefs. I don't have to grieve anymore about what's going to happen. I don't have to grieve anymore about what I've done yesterday. I don't have to stay in the process of grief of who I've been, because Jesus changed that. He made me a new creation in Him. I don't look in the mirror anymore and see the old man, but I see the new man in Christ. And I celebrate that. I say, thank you, Lord, you changed me. I don't have to be sorrowful anymore of where I've been or where I'm going, but you have set me free, and I can now rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice in the Lord, because I know who I am. Lion King, one of my favorite Disney movies, and I love the storyline of how Simba runs away from his call of duty. He runs because he thought he killed his father, and he was in self-pity. He was in grief and sorrow. He just let everything that he was go, and he surrendered himself to a life that wasn't him. He was the next king in line, and he's walking around, you know, with a war hog, eating snails and bugs with no responsibility. He's the king. He had lowered himself to such an estate because he had forgotten who he was. And sometimes in our lives, we forget who we are in Christ now. That's right. Just like Melly said a while ago, as she was up there preaching that word a while ago, hey, man, testify, hallelujah. I mean, she was hitting it home. You know, she's up there talking. She's like, you know, the devil is under our feet. He is defeated. Even he knows he's defeated. He absolutely doesn't have the power anymore over our future. Our future is in the hands of a living God. And when Calvary happened, and when Jesus says, it is finished, what he meant was everything is now square. Everything is now paid for. The account is now closed. You are now been acquitted. You are now justified. You are now forgiven. You no longer have to pay a price. I've just paid it for you. Enjoy your salvation and shout with the voice of triumph and shout with the voice of praise. Hey, hey, give God some glory and praise. Hallelujah. He bore my griefs. I don't have to grieve anymore about where I'm going. Says that he was, where am I? Okay. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgressions. None of his own. He didn't deserve what he went through. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was wounded for my sins. He was wounded for my failures and my shortcomings. He was wounded for me, not anything he did for himself. He loved me this much that he paid this price, went through this torment and this torture. And what you don't see on the video is all the torment before he got to the cross. You know, they had a whipping post. They would put chains on his wrist. They would lock him with chains so he couldn't escape, and they would lock him on this pole. And a Roman soldier would take this whip. It had pieces of bone and leather straps. It's called the cat tail of. Thank you. And I knew something with cat and tails. And they would take that and they would beat Jesus. And by law, they couldn't get more than 39 stripes. But think about that, 39. You talk about your daddy abuse you. Really? Four or five licks? Ooh. Think about this. 39 times upon his flesh, the whip would go into it and pull his flesh out every time it went in. He was completely almost at death's door before we ever went to the cross. They stuck that crown of thorns upon his head, stuck them. Have you ever had a touch of thorn bush, a real thorn bush? They hurt. We had a real thing of thorn up here. I think I put it up. I had a real thorn vine up here, and you can't hardly hold it without it cutting you. Think about that being plucked into your head. And then he went through all the emotional abuse of people spitting at him and cursing him and blaspheming him and talking about him and all that before we even got to the cross. And then at the cross, as we know, he was asphyxiated is what happened. I mean, he literally, you lose your breath. What happened? The way a prisoner crucified dies is you have to keep gasping, raising up to try to catch breath to the point you can't, and you literally just stop breathing. Suffocate. Thank you. You suffocate to death. What a torturous death that was. But Jesus knew his mission in life, and he knew his destiny in life. And he fulfilled that for all of us. That's how much he loved us. And when we don't value what he has done for us, that is poor on us, isn't it? God, I honor what you have done for me. I can never, ever have done it for myself. And I thank you for that. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We were all born with a sickness. We know this, called sin. We were born with this sickness. We were born with a destiny to die and be lost. But Jesus healed our sickness. I no longer have that sickness. It's something a doctor can't find. If I go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, see if I got the sickness of sin. Okay. Don't have a machine for that. But I've been forgiven of that. Because we know each of us are born with the nature of rebellion. That's why we rebelled at a very young age, very early age. They got something called terrible twos. How can a two-year-old be terrible? They're two. They're two. They're beautiful. They're sweet. They're two. They've lived 24 months. They're terrible. Yeah, terrible twos, right? They start acting out. They start rebelling. They start sassing. They start not listening. They start, you know, pulling away from you. They do all those. It's because of that sin in them. And the only remedy for sin is righteousness. And the only way we can be righteous is through Christ, not through us. We can try to do our works. We can try to do our stuff and go through all the religious ceremonial things, but none of that. The Bible says in Hebrews, the priests would stand there daily doing their ministry duties, but it never took away sin. But this priest, this high priest, talking about Jesus, went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for us. One offering forevermore. Celebrate that. He wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Verse 6 says this, we like sheep have all gone astray. Bill did a series in Sunday school about sheep. Sheep need direction, don't they, Bill? Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd, they scatter. They don't stay together. They get lost. They get out there where the wolves are. They don't stay in a, they don't, they need direction. All of us, like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray. Because we do. We have our opinions. We have how we feel about things. And even us Christians have moments that we rebel against what's right. And we need the shepherd to always reel us in and let us know this way. Like sheep, we've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, this is so powerful, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You saw that in the video. All the iniquity of us was laid upon Jesus Christ. All of it. That's why the earth, I think, grew dark those 3 hours. All the wrath and the judgment and the sin choked out the light temporarily. But man, here's the good news. He didn't stay dead. He rose the third day forevermore. He didn't stay dead. He only was gone for a short period, and then he rose victorious, he rose glorious, he rose for us, and because he rose, we too, he's the first fruits of them that risen, we too have a future resurrection coming in our lives, where we will raise up glorified in our new glorified bodies forevermore, for death will never have us again, just like Jesus. He was the predecessor of that resurrection. We have that future. That is the gospel. We have this beautiful future because of him. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, but he opened not his mouth. Remember the thief on the cross, the one that ridiculed him? And says, if you're really the Savior, Messiah, save yourself and save us while you're at it. We appreciate that, boss. Save us. He didn't open his mouth. In fact, in one place, I think it was Peter, when they were going to crucify him, told Jesus, you know, I won't let that happen. I'll protect you. He called Peter a devil. He says, devil, get behind me. Don't stop what's got to happen. Don't stop the plan of God that's got to happen. Don't interfere with what's got to happen, because when this happens, everything is changed forevermore. Our lives have been changed forevermore. He loves us this much. And we have to understand there's no more victim card we should play. There's no more condemnation card we should hide behind. There's no more I'm not worthy card we should hide behind, because if we do that, we're not valuing the price Jesus paid. When I give someone a gift, I love for them to receive that with joy, don't you? Yes. How's it feel, Gordon? You gave me a gift, and I said, "Oh, Gordon, I don't want this gift. I'm not worthy of this gift. Take it back and give it to Bruce. He's more worthy than me. I'm not worthy. I don't want your gift because you know I just." You're like, man, really? Give it back. I'll get to Bruce. Somebody that wants it. I don't value what you've given me. We don't value, I don't think, sometimes what God's given us. This justification apart from works. This grace apart from works. This healing apart from anything I could ever do to be healed. Apart from all of that, God, I value this precious gift that you've given me. I value the love that you've shown me. God, I know how important that is, that you paid this price for me, and I take it with seriousness, and I take it with humility, and I receive it with joy, and I receive it with hope, knowing, God, that you loved me that much. And I'm going to walk in that love, and I'm going to appreciate that love. I'm going to value that love that you have for my life. Because the world, as Selena said earlier, needs love, right? We need to love each other. And we see so much division. We see so much hate. We see so much prejudice. We see so many things that divide us. We see so many, you know, people that are just trying to, you know, keep things stirred up just to keep things stirred up. But when we realize, if I've got God's love, that's really all I need. Because your kids are going to grow up and leave you. Sorry to tell y'all, younger moms. They're going to leave you. Ours did. She's in Florida. But it's okay. Your kids grow up, and they leave you. And if you're not good, your husband or wife may leave you. Doc, why are you getting all excited? Your husband or wife may leave. He's back here laughing. He's like, she came back, Pastor. Things are going to leave you. Your job can shut down tomorrow. We see it all the time, right? We go in, oh, we're closing down the plant. What? We're gone. But God is really all that matters. He doesn't leave us. When I'm in my worst place, in my darkest hour, my most pain, he's there. When nobody else loves me, when everybody else has walked away from me, when nobody else really cares, he always cares, and he always loves, and he always remains, and he's always steadfast, and he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's with me to the very end, and I'm thankful for that because our seasons change, but I'm so thankful God's in every one of my seasons, and he doesn't change. He says this, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of the people was he stricken. He was stricken because of my transgressions. I mean, on the cross, picture this. He could have been holding a sign. This is for Tony Penland. This is for Von Seal Jenvern. This is for Mindy Lackey. This is for Bill Fuller. This is for Nathan Henderson. This is for Melanie Lewis. He could have been holding all of our names. I'm doing this for you. We got to make it personal. He died for me. I'm glad he died for Melanie, but I'm more glad he died for me. Can we get real? I mean, I hope Melanie makes it to heaven, but praise God, I know I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that. He died for me. There's going to be a day my eyes see what he's prepared for me. There's going to be a day I am able to hold and hug and be around and worship my Savior and see him in a way I've never saw him before. Yes, I can feel him from time to time, and I can hear his voice from time to time, but there's going to be a day that I bow before my Savior and my Creator, and he will say, "Welcome home, son." Hallelujah. That's our future. That's what the gospel gives us. And I wouldn't have that future apart from what he did right here in Isaiah 53, what he would end up doing. He loved me that much. And I want to value that love. I want to appreciate how much he loves me. You hear a couple sometimes say things, well, we just grew apart, right? That's a very common thing. We grew apart. Aren't you glad God doesn't grow apart from you? I'm so thankful that no matter what I do, that God is going to love me. Even when I'm wrong, he's going to love me. When I mess up, he's going to still love me. That's a love that's greater than anything, because people cut you off. God doesn't. He was stricken for my transgressions. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus was offered for our sin. He is the only one that can forgive us of our sins. A preacher can't do it. A church can't do it. A pastor can't do it. A priest can't do it. Jesus is the only one that can forgive sin. And we must be very aware of that and not think that we can do something to get ourselves out of this little sin mess we got ourselves into. You know, I'll put a big check in the plate, which we always welcome, by the way. I put a big check in the plate, and then me and God square. No. I'll sign up for usher duty for a month, and me and God square. Doesn't work that way. I'll fast until I about fall over, my sugar hits 20, and then me and God will be good. No. You'll just be really hungry and really almost go in a coma. But it won't make you no closer to God far as your forgiveness of sins. We've got to be careful that we understand that this price he paid to value his crucifixion and resurrection in our lives. That's the gospel. That's what Paul preached. How we've gotten in all these denominations now is amazing when you start reading the Bible, isn't it, Bill? When you read the Bible and how the church started out, it was pretty simple. The church was pretty simple. Paul says, I preach Christ, him crucified and risen. That's the message, crucified and risen, crucified and risen. I preach him crucified and risen. And then we've gotten into all these things where man's got in the way, and man's got control and made all these rules and regulations, and it's not the gospel. There wasn't no man on that cross but Jesus. There wasn't no high priest could do that but Jesus. There was no denominational pastor or bishop or apostle or evangelist or whoever. Billy Graham can't say. Nobody can say it. Jesus is the only one that took away your sin. The only one took away your sin. And all the glory, all the honor goes to him. He said, Jesus told his disciples, says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, then all men will be drawn to me. He was talking about being lifted up in death. That when I'm lifted up in death, then all will see that I was the price to pay for their sins. This tabernacle shall be destroyed, but in 3 days it'll be rebuilt, right? Talking about, once again, his death. For 3 days I will be gone, but the third day I'm coming back, and it's going to be a whole lot different. As in the movie Aladdin, it's a whole new world. Oh, yeah, the third day he came out of the tomb. I can see him singing, it's a whole new world. I have risen from the dead, and I will take you here and take you there. Just bow your knees and say a prayer, this world. That's horrible. Anyway. Thank you. But you know what? It really is. He created a whole new world. When he came out the third day, it was different than when he went in. He did die. He gave up the ghost. His flesh gave up the ghost. But he came back, and for all them days, 40 days, he walked around risen. And people saw this risen Jesus and knew that was really him. And there's even more documentation in the Bible about this. There's all kinds of historical manuscripts other than the Bible that talk about Jesus being seen after his resurrection by many people. It pleased the Lord, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In other words, Jesus wasn't going to stay dead. His life will be prolonged forevermore. As we know, he lives forevermore. He shall see the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant, Jesus, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. All of Nathan's sins, all of them, I mean all of them, Liz, all of them, were placed on Jesus. Think about that. He bore our sins. We have something we call in the Old Testament the law. We all know this. And many churches still try to live by the law. Many churches still promote, which is nothing wrong with this, we should live our lives according to course. I'm not pleased on anybody to take it wrong, but I'm just being honest. It's not the Ten Commandments that save us. It's the blood of Jesus that saved us. Because we can't even keep those Ten Commandments. We can't keep them. You go tell me you always honor your mother and father? Oh, yeah, okay. When's the last time you went to see them? Is that honoring them? Are you really always, always honoring your father and mother? You ever raise your voice to your father and mother? You ain't honoring them. Mm-mm. The Ten Commandments we've all broken, and a lot of you broke them yesterday probably. So I'm just saying, if you're hanging your hat on that to get you to heaven, we all in trouble. The law was in place, but the law was never meant to save us. The law was meant to point us to the need of a Savior. Because we realize, I can't do this. I try not to covet my neighbor. But when he's pulling up with three new Corvettes and built a brand new swimming pool and got the two big St. Bernard dogs and he's got a hot blonde wife, I can't help it, Pastor. I'm coveting. I mean, I'm drooling coveting. The Corvette, the St. Bernard, the swimming pool, the hot wife. Yeah, you're coveting. We can't keep the commandments, and we realize that even in our, if we don't physically act them out, we thanking them. We thanking them. You know, one thing that gets our president in a lot of trouble is what he says, right? He's his own worst enemy. And I was telling someone yesterday, I said, the thing is, though, about President Trump, is he just says what most of us are thinking. Let's get off. I was telling him, I said, you know what? What liberty it would be to just say what you say and don't give a hoot what anybody thinks about it. I mean, what liberty that would be to set you free. Just say, you know what, Nate, you really ain't that good looking. You really are. I'm just saying. And not care. Somebody told me yesterday, we was having dinner with some people and kind of hurt my feelings. They looked at me and I told him, I said, we're talking about different things. We're talking about, you know, our age and stuff. I told him how old I was. He goes, man, you got ugly fast. So what does... Did my wife defend me? Sat there in silence. Didn't say a word. Kevin, be good. If somebody said to my wife, I'd have defended her. I would not sit there and let that happen. I'd have said, excuse me, I don't marry ugly. That's what Melanie should have said, really. I don't marry ugly. Still, though, it don't matter. He wasn't old enough to be rude. Who says that? So anyway, but my whole point of saying about President Trump is he just says what a lot of us think and just don't say it because we're trying to be polite. Well, you know, by his own words, I say he breaks a lot of the laws, spiritual laws, right? You know, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You know, don't talk about your neighbor. You know, whatever. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's breaking the law. He's breaking commandments. We all are. So let's not hang our hat on that old law. And what happened was the law was to point us to the need of a Savior. So when Jesus came, Jesus didn't just say, oh, my bad, no more law. That was wrong. I messed up. Jesus had to satisfy the demand that the law required. And what the law required was a perfect, spotless lamb that didn't break any commandments, that had no sin, that could absolve and fulfill and pay the price that nobody else could pay before. This is why Jesus had to come born of a virgin. It could not be tainted with man's blood. And because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and not conceived by dirty old, you know, human race, he was born sinless. And he was the perfect sacrifice. And that's why he said on the cross, it is finished. The price has been paid. I fulfilled the law. There's no more judgment or law to keep. You don't have to worry about walking in every single statute perfectly to see salvation. I've took care of that for you. I have got my gavel, says you are now declared righteous and justified and free. Hallelujah. Value the price Christ paid for you. We still live like we're still under sin, but we're not under sin as far as our salvation in Christ. Yes, we still make mess up, but we must understand that all of my sin has been absolved. All those clouds you saw in that video, all the curse, the wrath, the death, the condemnation, you know, all of that being poured upon this offering called Jesus that set us free. I'm forgiven because of him and him only, period, because of what he's done. I can never be good enough to earn it. The Bible says there is none good, not one, which includes me, includes y'all. Last verse here, verse 12. Therefore, did I read verse 11 yet? Yes, I did. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bore all of my junk and your junk. And salvation is faith and trust that Jesus has paid the price. And I can rest in that. Man, there's so many times, especially when I was younger, I was so worried about, you know, I knew I loved God, I knew you loved me, I knew I'd been saved, but I struggled and battled with, you know, would I really go to heaven if something happened now? You know, because you're battling what religion is telling you not to do. Realizing that, church, there's just things in our, and I'm going to be honest, there's things in our lives that some of us will carry all of our lives. We're not going to change. If you're a gossiper, bless your little heart. Some of you just can't help that. And you go gossip, even though you know it's wrong. You can be praying in tongues 1 minute and gossiping 20 minutes later at Walmart. That's just who you are. Praising Jesus, yeah, praising him and getting all caught up in the anointing. And then you run to Walmart and Chris Nitsu walks by and you tell your friend, see that guy over there? You know what he did last week? You just prayed in the spirit. Now you're tearing down Chris Nitsu in Walmart? That's we're going to bear things that we're never probably going to get free from totally. Anybody here stubborn? You know you're really stubborn. Is that going to, Lee, is that going to change anytime soon? Nate said no. Not going to change no time soon. She might even want, she don't even want to change it, does she? She probably likes being stubborn. Yeah? Hey, stubborn. But you know what? She loves Jesus, right? There are battles we are going to fight our whole lives. And if we get caught up in, you know what? If I really was saved, if I really was forgiven, I wouldn't act this way. Man, we're human and we're born with stuff from our parents, the good and the bad. We inherit things from our parents, grandparents, cousins, uncles, you know, siblings, good and bad. And sometimes it's a constant fight, and sometimes we may never overcome that thing in our lives that we battle. And thank God Jesus overcome it for us. Take your refuge in Christ and trust in what he did. He loved you that much that he, all the wrath of us, all of our iniquities and sins were poured upon him. He took it. He absolved it. He dealt with that. And then he rose the third day, granting us everlasting life. There's no more keeping of the law, church. I don't care how many churches try to promote this. There is no more keeping of the law for salvation. It can't happen. I mean, it's impossible. I think it's good we do things, of course. I think it's good we honor God and we live our lives, you know, according to his word. But we've got to be very careful of telling people. And there's still churches right here in Idaho County that do this. And it makes me so mad when people see somebody come in, a guy, for example, with long hair or pierced up or tattoos, and they want to get up the pulpit and preach against long hair and piercings and tattoos. My Lord, think about this. If long hair, and I'm going to tell you something, I'd probably have long hair if I had hair. If long hair and tattoos and piercings sent me to hell and separated from God, I mean, what else would? That, to me, that's the least. I mean, would we think about deeper things? Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be a drunk. Oh, in fact, you know, drunk's a little bit probably worse than having long hair, right? You know, maybe I shouldn't use them four-letter words every time I get mad. That's probably a little worse than having an earring in my ear. You know, Maybe me going out and, you know, stalking women and, you know, looking up porn. Maybe that's a little bit worse than me having a tattoo on my arm. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, because here's the deal. I told a preacher this one time. He's talking about tattoo. I said, look, if you go pull out Leviticus on the tattoo verse in Leviticus, you better pull out all of Leviticus. And let's see how you do with Leviticus. Oh, my gosh. I mean, read the book of Leviticus and you'll thank God for Isaiah 53. I promise you. You'll be like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I do value your love now. Because if the Bible says if we break one law, we've broken the law. So, yeah, you maybe, you know, Chris is good about, you know, I ain't committed adultery and I, you know, I'm not doing this and doing this. But there's something he's breaking. There's some law he's breaking because we can't help it. Thoughts come to our minds, don't they, Gordon? And no matter how much we try to rebuke them, them thoughts sometimes just hang around. And you visualize those thoughts. And sometimes you act out those thoughts. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just think them. But all of that's breaking the law. Remember what Jesus says? If you look at a woman the wrong way, even though you've not done anything, in your heart it's adultery, right? If you hate your brother, then you're a murderer. Man, think about that. Well, I've not killed nobody. Do you love your brothers? Well, yeah, I love most of them. Do you love just the white ones? Do you love just the straight ones? Do you love just the Republican ones? Do you love just the Panther ones? You know? Which ones do you love? The Bible doesn't make that. We're supposed to love each other, no matter what we look like, where we come from, what our life is like. We're supposed to. Don't mean we got to endorse it. I'm not, you know. You know, Sherman comes out, hey, Pastor, I swing the other way now. I just want to let you know. I ain't going to be like, woo, Sherman, go, boy. Woo, new homo up in the house. Yeah. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to still love him. Amen. I'm not going to quit talking to him because of that. I'm not going to turn my back on him and say, I have nothing to do with you. Get behind me, Satan, because of that. And that's what religion's done to us. It's categorized us. It's boxed us in. I love you if you look like me. I love you act like me. We don't really want your kind here. There's a church for you around the corner. Really? I want to be that corner. Thank you. We want to be that corner to where people walk in, they realize it's them and the Lord, and it's not about us categorizing if they belong or if they fit. There's a song Melly's just sing, the group just sing, what's that song, Melly? Girl in the back, somebody comes in the street, back row. Yeah, if we are the body. Yeah, if we are the body. Absolutely. If we are the body, why are our hands not reaching? Why aren't our feet not going? Why are we not healing? We're the body. And the body's made up of different parts. Look at all of you in here. We got folks in here from, let's see, who's the youngest person in here this morning? No, Sherman, you're not the youngest. How old's your son, Raleigh? 12. We got, Peyton's what, 10? 11. Anybody younger than 11? So we got 11 years old, and we got grandma. Hey, grandma, I love you. We're not going to tell you age, but we got grandma. And she is probably the most senior citizen here, I would say. So we have from 11 to granny, right? We have all kinds of shapes in here. We got hairy guys like Chris. We got clean guys like me. We got different walks. We got different battles. We got truck drivers in here. We got office workers in here. We got different walks. We got single. We got married. Different walks. Bless you, whoever that was. We have got different people, but we're all part of one body. Yes. Well, any of you go to Logan's today and you walk in and you see folks with piercings or tattoos, I'm not going to be here today. Let's go down to K&W. I don't like how they look. Shoot, no. You're getting that ribeye. You don't care if they half naked. As long as you get your ribeye, it's all you care about. But we come to church. And all of a sudden, we're like, man, they don't look like me. I don't, no. Mm-mm. Jesus died for all his people, all humanity, everybody. And I am thankful I'm part of that everybody. Everybody. Hallelujah. Marjorie, come on up here. Let's play a little something for our closing. closing song. I want you to understand how much the Lord loves you today and value the price that he paid for you. Because you, through him, are forgiven. Through his sacrifices, you believe that and trust that he paid the price. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. No stipulations. No rigmarole. It's you and God saying, Lord, I believe that you are Lord and Savior. And I believe in the price that you paid. And because of that, I believe I am forgiven. What a beautiful, beautiful revelation to know how loved you are. Go ahead and sing a little song.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha that you laid.
Favor, church, y'all stand up, will you? Why don't you put your I know somebody's funny about the hand deal, and I understand that's cool. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder beside you, and I want us to pray together as a body. We're all one. We're part of a family, and I want us to pray that each one of you, I want to pray each one of you experience and understand the value of God's love for you. God, as we are joined together arm in arm as a body, we're all going through different battles, fears, doubts, frustrations, pain, grief, depression, discouragement, something, God. We're all battling something in this sanctuary today. God, as we are hand in hand right now with each other, I pray for a supernatural understanding, revelation of the love you have for each one in this room. That God, you loved us unto death, that you loved us beyond our iniquities, beyond our sins, beyond all that we have done, all that we have been. Let us feel your love in this place, Lord. Let us experience it in a fresh new way, realizing the value of what you have done, that I am forgiven because you have paid the price for me. I can't earn it. I can't keep it. God, you have given it to me freely, and I thank you for that. Let your love be felt in our lives today, that we walk out of here feeling changed and encouraged and strengthened by your presence. In Jesus' name, and for the needs of all the people in this room, I pray that you meet that need, Lord, minute by minute, hour by hour, and day by day, that you walk with us and you meet what we're going through. You meet us where we are at, and that we see your hand in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated this morning. Ushers, come on up here. It's time to give of your finance, of your first fruits to the church. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you came into this world to set us free. God, let us live like we're free. Let us walk like we're free. So we give our offer today, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for this type of worship that we have to honor you with our first fruits. You have blessed us so much. God, you own it all. Nothing is ours. Nothing is ours. We are borrowing what you have given us, and we are thankful for that. Bless this offering and bless this seed and meet the needs of this ministry as we continue to go forward, God, in this generation, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.